Welcome to All Learning Reimagined, the podcast that defines convention and redefines the purpose and practice of education. Here we venture beyond institutional boundaries. Whether you're a parent, educator, or curious mind devoted to lifelong growth, this is your space to challenge assumptions and co-create a more humane and intuitive approach to education. Let's reimagine what education can be.
G'day, and welcome to All Learning Reimagined. I'm your host, Teresa, bringing you a little ray of sunshine as together we're reimagining the future of education, one inspired story at a time. And boy, have I got a story for you today. Today, the topic that we are going to delve into is the use of technology. Now, most people seem to call it AI, artificial intelligence. I'm going to interchange. So sometimes I will use the word AI because that way our audience knows who I'm talking about. But what I'm really talking about is just technology in general, that technological intelligence. And the reason why I've chosen this topic today is because it's been quite contentious lately. There's in the education field, and I know I'm in Australia, but I'm talking to lots of educators in many different countries. It seems to be that the use of technology, particularly what we call AI, as in your Copilot, your ChatGPTs, your Groks, all of those sorts of things, has just exploded onto the field the last couple of years, and it seems to have completely shifted the face of what we're doing and making a lot of challenges for a lot of people, beings who are either not wanting to change with the times or not strong in their own sense of self to be able to use it as a tool. I mean, in short, basically, it's a disruptor to education. I mean, history always has education disruptors. There's always had something every few years as a big education disruptor. But certainly the rise of AI being here is creating a lot of challenges, particularly around the integrity and the authenticity of, is this your work or did the machine do it? You know, is it machine assisted? And how much is okay and how much is not enough? And I had a fascinating conversation with a man this week who actually works in the university space, and technology is pretty much his bread and butter. And he was sharing with me that on interview panels today, there are a lot of panels that are struggling to get authenticity, even in the interview job seeking space, because ordinarily they usually give out the questions 10 minutes before the interview. And what they're finding is that a lot of the interviewees now are ChatGPTing their answers. They were his words. So they would come into the interview with all of these notes and answers to the questions that was actually not from their own personal experience, and putting their best foot forward on what they have to offer. They were pretty much regurgitating what they thought the interviewers and panels wanted. And he said this was actually quite dangerous because they were choosing to employ people in situations where they authentically didn't have the skill set that they needed. And his words were, the universities at the moment, it's like an arms race. They are trying to work out how can they try and control the work that's being handed in, because you've got even people in the medical profession that are using this tool to make decisions. And whilst some of them do have the skill, the knowledge and the skills in order to use it as a tool, at what stage do you become over-reliant on it? And does it give you inaccurate information? So that leads me to another conversation that I've had recently in the last couple of months with a naturopath who was actually bringing up how dangerous it could be for young naturopaths coming through, because she has used technology as a guide to create programs and things for some of her clients. And she said quite often it's giving her information that's absolutely wrong and inaccurate and potentially dangerous because it's recommending certain herbs and certain products that when together with whatever that person's condition is, could create more problems. And she's noted this and picked it up quite often, but she said the danger is if you didn't have that experience or that knowledge, you wouldn't even know. You wouldn't even know that the information was there, and it's quite a slippery slope of becoming over-reliant on the information that's given to you through the technology. And then that leads me to another thread of another conversation I had with a lady the other day, and she was sharing a personal story around how she was having a lot of relationship problems, and she actually admitted that she was quite lonely, and she asked, and it was ChatGPT, one of the versions, number five, I think she mentioned. I don't really know all of the names for them. She mentioned she asked it for advice on what to do in this relationship. It was not a very happy relationship. And the advice she was quite surprised about because one part was to go to the police. I'm assuming that was around abuse. Another one was to find a counsellor that is experienced with trauma-based counselling. And the third option that the technology had admitted to her or advised her was to kill him. The words were just kill him. Problem solved, basically. And she was shocked. She was just like, wow. And she was confiding in me and saying, if I was mentally or emotionally unbalanced, that could possibly have tipped her over the edge to make a really poor choice. And at this stage, that's what I've been sort of thinking, like while these all seem quite extreme, there's a common thread, and these conversations are happening more and more in my everyday life. I'm not looking at it online. It's not propaganda. I'm talking to real flesh and blood people that are sharing their personal experiences. So then that started leading me to ponder on, are we leading technology or is technology leading us? Massive question, really massive question. And depending on what timeline you're on and where, what your ideological paradigms are and where you're coming from, I'm sure everyone has a completely different perspective. So, as an educator and in this space, it made me stop and think, well, there's one group of children that I'm working with at the moment, and they're 15 years old. And I've been having this discussion with them recently around what's your work, questioning what was written by AI predominantly, and their over-reliance on their original thinking and their personal voice. And you know, why are they feeling this pressure to hand in work, submit work that is not their own? And I'm not talking about them using technology as a tool to enhance the work that they've written. They've pretty much just asked the technology to write it for them and they're submitting it as their own. And really made me stop and question and start asking them questions. And it really made me realize that when are we stopping and having this conversation with the children, with the students, because you know, they're using this also in primary schools. There are young, very young children that are becoming reliant on using the technology. And some of them I have actually heard say, well, what's the point? Why should I bother writing it when I can put the answer and it can come out in within minutes? And they really do have a point. Sometimes the education system, the one that I'm currently in at the moment, it designs basically a 9-week, a 10-week unit of work to align to the curriculum that we have been pretty much told that we're expected to teach. But why are we spending 10 weeks to produce a piece of work that can be done in a matter of minutes? You know, what's wrong with this picture here? And at what stage do we actually stop and say, well, you know, there are a lot of benefits to technology, you know, it can bridge gaps with diverse needs. You know, I do have a Turkish student that I teach at the moment, and she speaks very little English, and it's a fantastic tool for language translation for her. She's able to get assistance 24/7. She can tap into the technology to help her comprehend the work that she needs to do, and that's an amazing tool. Technology can also help tailor needs at a learner's pace and interest and level. You don't need to be reliant on having that adult there to help do the work. It certainly can help personalize learning in that way. And it is efficient. It is time saving. It can automate lots of repetitive tasks. I know lots of teachers who do use it for repetitive tasks, and that frees their time up so that they can have more creative thinking and discussion and give feedback and collaborate. So when used in that way, that's really smart thinking. It's working smarter, not harder. I guess it can act as a creative co collaborator if it's used consciously. There are a lot of tools that are quite useful to enable that cross-cultural collaboration at that space as well. So it can allow people to give everyone a voice with some of these tools and some of the programs that are out there. However, I would have to say that it's really making me take a step back and go, okay, I need to really think ethically here and have discernment and definitely step up with my technological literacy, because young children who are born into this world can run rings around the adults who are trying to step into that education system. So, where's the balance between innovation and using the technology to innovate and build upon, and integrity, as in, authenticity? Some of the other concerns I have, because, and I'm just laying it all out on the table, I'm trying to have a balanced approach and looking at the pros and the cons. If you're constantly using technology passively, then it can really dull the intuition. You rely on it. It certainly dulls the imagination. I've seen that already. And that heart-led creativity, and that's something I'm very passionate about. And I feel that that's what makes us human. So we also have to ask that question around not only who is shaping or what is shaping the future of learning, where does the human spirit, where does the humanness fit into this conversation and this debate? Because I'm seeing it literally drain. It's the frog in the pot thing. It's been happening for years. Some people say, oh, AI's only been on the scenes for a couple of years. No. Decades this has been sneaking in. And some people are saying we're going to be reliant. I'm sorry, when you have a look around society, we're already there. You can't go to the bank without using technology. You can't pay pump petrol without the technology. It's everything. It's everywhere. We're literally having to learn how can we co-create our reality with technology without losing what it is to be, I don't even like the word human, humane, I guess, compassionate beings, loving beings who have our own intuition and our own creative ability. Of course, you also have the danger of biases, bias and inaccuracy. I know I saw something on the internet, oh, I can't even remember how long ago it was, and I don't know this person, so I don't know how accurate this was, but I did have a bit of a laugh at the moment. They were asking for a recipe, and the recipe that the technology gave back asked them to put rocks, I think it was rocks and leaves, in the recipe. And they were like, what? What? And when they questioned it, they were talking about mineral realm and the leaves, but it was potentially, dangerous, obviously, to eat, and did not make sense whatsoever. So there can be a lot of inaccurate information that's shared. And also, of course, misinformation can be spread very easily. I've had guests on this show before who've actually have said that they've found, well, their words were that ChatGPT was lying to them. I would probably say giving inaccurate information. And then when they questioned it, it ch completely changed the answer to whatever it was that they were questioning and asking. And that's very dangerous to go down as well, road to go down as well, because of misinformation can spread really easily depending on the person who is the man or the woman or the child who is using that information. So much information, and there's a lot to process, and I'm sort of throwing it out there at the moment. I'm sort of discussing the pros and the cons and everything that seems to have come up. Personally, I have a lot of concerns around the control and data privacy, surveillance, ownership, digital footprints. I mean, who controls the information that we share and create? Where does this fit in? And then also that, once again, as I mentioned, that human connection. Too much screen time really erodes empathy, dialogue, and face-to-face learning. And in my opinion, there will always be place and time for that. We are not robots. We are not androids. Well, some of us might be, but as a general rule, we're not. And we do definitely need that connection with other people and that sense of compassion and empathy. And I'm seeing it often, particularly for children who do a lot of gaming, particularly the first-person shooter type gaming, their lack of empathy because they think they can respawn. And they feel that they can hurt someone and it's not going to matter. It's like they've been conditioned and numbed to that do no harm, which is really ultimately isn't that breaking universal and natural law, doing no harm. They don't think and they don't feel, and they've lost that disconnection with who and what they are. They've really been severed from nature. That dependence, that distraction, that dependency with the AI speed and perfection and graphics. And it's almost like some of the movies like Ready Player One, where they're literally living in that virtual world and they're so attached to it. The moment they get free time from whatever task in the reality that they need to do, the first thing they do is pick up their phone. They reach for their phone, like it's an extension of them. Or, they're constantly playing computers or on games. How much is enough and where is the balance? So, all of that information that I've just shared, and I know my brain is actually stuttering today. I apologize for that. It feels like I've got so much information pouring out of me that just wants to be heard. It's moving too quickly for my mouth. Oh, gosh. I have developed a mini project that I am going to be doing next week, actually, with quite a few classes with my students and have this rich discussion. I feel like this is a discussion that really needs to be had, and we should be asking these really large questions with children. They're so wise and they are really deserve to have a voice because this is their future. So the class of 15-year-olds that I was talking about before, when we were discussing the fact that, they've got a couple more years of high school, many of them will go off to university, some of them might do apprenticeships, but let's say they might have, I don't know, 4 or 5 years left in some sort of education setting, some sort of way of continuing to learn before they choose to step into whatever career they want to go to. Everyone's a little bit different, so I can't really group them as a general rule. But let's look in 4 or 5 years into the future. What is that going to look like? How is technology going to be used then? What type of person are they going to be? Like, what is their character like? What habits are they forming? What thoughts are they creating? Which you have your thoughts, which come from your subconscious and your ideology. Then you speak your words, which literally creates the reality around you. Your constant words then turn into actions, what you're doing. Your actions, as we know, become habits, and your habits shape your character, and your character and everything that we've just discussed literally creates the reality around you and puts you on the timeline, of your future. And you, every choice you make, and choice is a really key word here, does put you on a different timeline. Do I use this technology? Do I not? Whichever choice you make sets you on a different timeline for your future. And we need to consciously create and stop and slow down and stop being so busy and consciously feel into Is this what I need to do? At what stage does that technology become a crutch? I can't move without it. Or something that can just help us, like a bridge. And so I'm going to be asking the students, and we're going to create this mini research unit. We're going to dive into it, and I'm going to leave it very open-ended for them. Basically, they're going to be exploring the balance between innovation and using technology to help with innovation and integrity. And it's really looking at technology and humanity and our future of learning. So they're going to be, we will unpack together as a class. We'll have lots of brainstorming, lots of discussions, lots of sticky notes on walls, looking at, we'll probably do a SWOT analysis. What are the strengths? What are the threats? What are the weaknesses? What are the opportunities that we have in the next 5 years? And see what they can come up with. They can have some lots of rich discussions. I've also put in the project, which, of course, as you know, I publish something every week with my podcast, and this project I will publish with this week's article, along with the list of the pros and cons that I've researched for this article. So it'll all be there published for people to use if they feel like this could be something worthwhile doing with your family or your children or your students if you're an educator. But in the project, I've put personal reflection prompts, which I will ask the girls to journal. Now, when we journal, we usually go outside, sometimes take our shoes and socks off, we go and sit under a tree or just get natural light, natural air, and then they would just have very quiet time. So no discussion, it's just that self-reflection where they can tap inside and feel into what am I thinking, and then they literally just write, just that automatic writing, no typing, handwriting. We use a different part of our brain when we're handwriting. I won't be reading any of it. It's private for them, but it really is them taking this information and then trying to apply it to themselves personally. So the first reflection prompt that I have in the project is, what kind of relationship do I want with technology? So in the next 5 years, so they can stop and have a look, and tap into themselves of, what do they want? Because what they want will determine what they do. And in order to do that, first of all, they need to go, well, who do I want to be? What type of man, woman, young woman, young man do I want to be? And that whole character and who I am is central to everything. And if you lose sight of that, then you have the danger of just being led along and someone else programming thoughts for you, and possibly not using technology in the correct way. Well, I don't even know if there's a correct way. Let's just say possibly in a way that might step over the boundaries of academic integrity or possibly lose a sense of who and what they are. So definitely igniting the curiosity of the project. I have asked this particular group of young ladies if they were interested in exploring this, and I had 100% were so keen. They were just like, wow, this is fantastic. We are going to, at the end, share. We're sort of going to have like a little forum, like a technology forum, and we're going to ask the leadership team of their learning environment to come along and listen to what they have to say and share, and any recommendations they have for their learning space in the next few years, which is also very important because they are stepping up as seniors of the school, and it's important that they have their finger on the pulse with this, and they're consciously creating and not pushing back from the system or advocating. They're actually working in alignment with the staff that are working with them, who care so deeply for them and really want the best for them as well. So it's, are we working in the same direction, really, rather than opposing forces? So the main part of the project will also be to work, they can work in pairs or a small group. Some might choose to work individually, that's fine. It's their personal choice. I'm not imposing anything in this project. They're going to choose a focus question that interests them. I've got a variety of focus questions to get them started, or they can develop their own. It's completely up to them. And it could be something like, how is AI changing creativity and communication? What ethical challenges come up when humans and machines work together? How might technology, AI, reshape education and their future jobs? How can students protect authenticity and integrity in the digital world? So, lots of different questions. That's just a couple. I've actually got a whole page of questions, and I'm sure I know these girls will come up with their own. Many of them are very creative and very passionate. And then they will be allowed to co-create how they choose to express whatever it is that they discover in any way that they find, along with the reflection prompts, hoping that they can put some of their personal reflections within their presentation. You know, like what truths and tensions are emerging for them personally as they're exploring the topic. You know, are there any triggering or beliefs that are coming up that it's butting against for them? So they get to decide how they're going to share their findings and their insights. They can choose a format that fits their own voice and their own strengths. Some of them might choose to do a podcast or a short video, you know, a thoughtful conversation or an interview, perhaps. Some of them might choose to do an artwork or a mural or like a digital collage, probably, and express their ideas through imagery. That might be their strength. I know some of the girls will probably write an article or an essay or a manifesto, something like that, or a performance or a poem, a short film, you know, bringing emotional storytelling possibly to whatever it is. A couple might go for a website or an infographic or some sort of digital showcase and design their presentation in that space. And others might want to just do a collaboration. They might want to combine ideas and mediums. I'm not giving them a limit. They can choose to deliver whatever it is, whatever they want to express with their voice. But their project needs to be creative. It needs to be research-based. And there does need to be some sort of short reflection on what they discovered about themselves through the journey. And what they discovered about their view of humanity's relationship with technology moving forward. So the last reflective prompt that I have for them in this project is, how does AI or how does technology challenge or expand their own understanding of creativity and their academic integrity? Which is a really big question, so much depth of thought to go into this and feeling and emotion. And that's all I have time to share with you today. So I really wanted to bring that out because it just seems to be so topical. I'd love to hear people share their stories and their experiences. There's so many experiences going out and expressions. There's so many people using this in a valuable way and others that are completely turning away from it. And I don't know what the sweet spot is. I don't know what the balance is. I don't have the answers at all. And I don't need to have the answers. I just need to do what's right for me, and you need to do what's right for you, of course, as we know. If you're interested in getting a copy of this project that I've put together, you can go to bbsradio.com/all learning reimagined. And you'll find all the archive shows and all the archived articles and resources that I create there. Feel free to take them, use them, adapt them. That's what they're there for, to go and play with. So thanks for joining me on All Learning Reimagined today, everybody. Until next week, go out and live learning. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on All Learning Reimagined, where passion illuminates the path forward. Remember this: the future of learning doesn't arrive from above, it begins within. You are the spark, the shift, the living answer to education's silent call for transformation. So stay curious, stay awake. Let inspiration be your compass, because how we learn today is not just personal, it is profoundly generative. It shapes the very architecture of tomorrow's world. We are not separate from the system, we are its evolution. Until next time, trust the wisdom of your own unfolding and let your life be the lessons that light the way for others.